Not long ago, I began a series of lessons entitled The Sayings of the Crucifixion. Now, these particular series is not running one right after another. They'll be done from time to time. But in that particular study, what we found is Jesus telling his disciples, first of all, that he was going to die. Secondly, he tells them that every one of them are going to be offended in him that very night. All 12, or at least 11 apostles, are listening to Jesus and what he has to say. And when Peter hears what he has to say, Peter cannot fathom the words of Jesus. We've been with you these 3.5 years. We've sat at your feet. We know exactly who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the promised Messiah. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he hears the words that all of them are going to be offended that night, Peter knows that he's talking about him. And Peter cannot imagine his ever being offended. And in the pages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 26, 33 through 35, and also in Mark 14, 29 through 31, we find Peter's response to our Lord on that particular occasion. Tonight I've simply entitled the lesson as follows: Peter will never be offended. And notice that we highlight the word never. As we study these three verses in the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to be looking at three different points. The first point that we're going to be talking about is the repudiation, verse 33. Remember, Jesus said, "You're all going to be offended." And Peter immediately responds and he repudiates what Jesus has to say. Notice what he says. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men be offended because of thee, I will never be offended." Wow. 3 points about that statement. Number one, it was immediate, wasn't it? There's no time between what Jesus said and how Peter immediately answers him. Peter doesn't stop and he doesn't think about what's being said, and he surely doesn't even think about who just said the words to him. It was Jesus, the Son of God, who told him, "You're going to be offended," and yet he immediately responds, does he not? I find it interesting that his response is also extremely bold, isn't it? "I will never be offended at you." It doesn't matter what all of these other guys do, if they turn their back on you, if they run, not me, not Peter, "I will never be offended, Lord." And also, his response was certain, wasn't it? Peter thought that he knew himself. Peter thought that he understood his faith and his convictions. And therefore, when he spoke with definiteness. He spoke with certainty. "There is absolutely no way that I can be offended." A powerful statement by Peter. Folks, let me ask you a question. Very simply this: can and should men speak with certainty about the steadfastness of their faith? That's exactly what it sounds like Peter is doing, doesn't it? He sounds like he's certain. He sounds like he understands everything that there is to know about his faith. And so my question is, should we speak with that kind of certainty? We have some other examples. We remember the three Hebrew youths who stood before Nebuchadnezzar, don't we? Nebuchadnezzar had built that huge image and he had commanded that all individuals fall down and worship that image. And those three Hebrew youths decided, "We are not going to do that." They're called in before Nebuchadnezzar. And they say this: "King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, Our God, whom we serve, can deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He can deliver us out of thine hand also, O King. But if not, O King, be it known unto thee that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Sounds pretty definite to me, doesn't it, you? Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how hot you heat that oven, it doesn't matter who you are, guess what? We refuse to worship your gods. That's certainty. We go into the New Testament and we find another example in the life of Peter and also John. They had gone into the temple area and they had healed a man who is lame at the Gate Beautiful. And they had done so in the name of Jesus and had been called into the presence of the Jewish council. The Bible says this, "And they called them and said unto them," or commanded them, "not to speak at all nor teach any more in the name of Jesus." Here was their answer. "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Folks, again, Peter is speaking with certainty, is he not? It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you command. Whether it's right to obey you more than God, you make that decision. We're going to speak what we have to speak. Sounds like commitment. Sounds like courage. Sounds like boldness. Sounds like certainty to me. So again, we ask the question, can we speak with certainty about the steadfastness of our faith? The answer is yes and no, isn't it? You see, there is a distinction between these two examples and what is happening right now in our lesson with Peter. Folks, those three Hebrew youths, they were right in the very middle of their trial, were they not? They had already made a decision. We are not going to worship that image. They were now brought in because of that decision. You see, they were right in the middle of that trial and they knew, we've already made up our minds what's going to happen to us. And we will not serve those gods. The same was true of Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, wasn't it? They had already been preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. Now they're called in before the council and said, don't do that. Folks, they had a commission from the Almighty God. He had been risen from the grave. And they said, we will speak in the name of Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you say. But you see, Peter, when he makes this particular statement that we're studying tonight, he's not in the middle of trial yet, is he? And the statement that he makes far too prematurely. You see, there are certain situations, certain circumstances in which we could find ourselves, and folks, yes, we'd like to think we're steadfast. We'd like to think we're faithful. We would like to think we'll never fall. And yet, guess what? We've never been there yet. We've never been faced with that yet. Peter was looking down the quarters of time and he was imagining the situation. Oh no, I will never be offended, but he hadn't faced the trial yet. And he spoke far too prematurely. There's some lessons that we can learn from Peter's statement that he made. The first one is simply this. We cannot always judge ourselves, folks. Oh, we'd like to think we can, wouldn't we? We'd like to think that we know exactly how we're going to respond and how we're going to act and what we're going to do in every trial and under every circumstance. But sometimes we're just not honest with ourselves and it's difficult to judge. A second lesson is this. We need to give heed to 1 Corinthians 10:12, don't we? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Thirdly, right now, before we enter into trials, before we enter into temptation, before we get into those difficult circumstances, every one of us needs to start developing the qualities we need to stand. Folks, right now we need to be developing our faith. Right now we need to be developing our convictions. Right now we need to be developing our courage. Because one of these days those trials are going to come. And we're going to need everything that we can possibly muster at times in order not to fall, in order not to offend our Lord Jesus Christ. Right now's the time to develop the qualities. Notice this fourth lesson. Sometimes we are just better off to hold our tongue and to prove our convictions, not with our mouth, but with our actions. You see, sometimes we're like Peter, and we love to speak, and we love to talk, and we love to brag, and we love to tell about all the things that we can do and that we're going to do. And yet, when it comes time, sometimes that doesn't happen. You see, sometimes we prove ourselves to be a fool because of our tongue, rather than proving ourselves to be faithful by our actions. Four wonderful lessons that we learn from Peter's repudiation. Here's the next thing that's interesting. Point number two, the revelation of Jesus in verse 34. Now remember, there is just a simple conversation going on between Jesus Christ and one of his apostles, Peter, the Son of God, and one of his disciples. You're going to be offended? Oh no, not me. I'm not going to be offended. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't let those words pass, did he? Jesus immediately expresses an interesting revelation to Peter. Look what he says. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Wow, what a revelation, isn't it? There's three or four points that I want to look at, and here's the first one. Listen to Jesus' words. Thou shalt deny me. Isn't that what he said? Now that's the very thing Peter said is not going to happen. And the very minute that Peter makes that affirmation, Jesus turns right around and he says, oh yes, Peter, thou shalt deny me. There's almost an argument going on, isn't there, between these two individuals. And Jesus is affirming, yes, Peter, you will deny. That little word deny means this, to utterly deny. To totally, completely disavow. You and I live on this side of the cross, don't we? And we have the full, complete, written revelation from God to man, and we know exactly what's going to transpire down the road, don't we? And one of the statements that Peter makes stands out to us as Jesus makes this statement, and it's this, I know not the man. Those words are going to occur. Jesus said they would, and guess what? They will come to pass. A direct quote from Jesus, from Peter about Jesus Christ. I don't know him. In fact, he will even begin to curse and swear that he does not know Jesus. He will deny him. Here's something that I find interesting. Guys, this isn't the first time that Jesus has told Peter that he would deny him. You go back to John, the 13th chapter, in verse 38, and you find Peter and the other apostles in that upper room with Jesus. Jesus is there instructing those individuals on that particular occasion. And Jesus asked Peter a question. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now think about that. Peter's heard those words in the upper room, hasn't he? I find it interesting that up there, he didn't say a word back to Jesus. He just listened. They've left the upper room. They've gone out into the Mount of Olives. And this particular conversation is going on now in the Mount of Olives. And Jesus says, all of you are going to be offended. Folks, Peter can't stand it anymore. This is the second time you've said that I'm going to deny you. And I am not going to deny you. And Jesus says, oh, yes. You will deny me. You see, there's a lot of things going on in this particular account that sometime we just skip over. And Peter was just so sure that there's no way this is going to happen. Notice the second thing that Jesus says to Peter. He says, Peter, it's going to happen when? This night. Wow. What if somebody walked up to you and said something like this? Tonight, you're going to die. Does that make this night just a little bit more important? It does to me. And guess what? Every minute is now heavy on my mind. And I'm just counting the seconds and I'm counting the minutes and I'm watching the hours as they slowly pass from the clock and I'm asking myself, when is it going to happen? When's it going to transpire? Jesus told Peter, Peter, it's tonight that this is going to happen. Can you imagine how heavy that laid on the shoulders of this particular apostle? Not only does he say that it happened that night, he says that it's going to happen before the cock crows. When you look into Mark's account, Mark gives just a little bit more information. Mark says that before the cock crow twice, you will deny me thrice. Usually, a rooster crows two times. One time about midnight, and then the second time at daybreak. Can you imagine being Peter that night, and all of a sudden, in the far off distance, you hear the rooster crow one time? Uh-oh. Before he does it again, before the morning light, before daybreak, guess what? I am going to deny my Lord tonight. The Bible also refers to that second crowing as the cock crowing. When you turn over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says, watch therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. He then says this, at evening or midnight, or cock crowing, or in the morning. That cock crowing is at daybreak. Folks, Peter's time is numbered by the Lord, isn't it? It's going to be tonight, and it's going to be before that rooster crows at daybreak, Peter. Wow. And not only does he say he's going to deny him, he says this, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. Here's a man that thought, I won't do it even once. And now Jesus says, you're going to do it three times, Peter. Here's something that's interesting. And we could go into a pretty deep discussion if we wanted to. Is what Jesus is talking about right now predestination? Or is what he's talking about right now divine forethought? There's a distinction between the two. You see, there are some individuals who believe in the doctrine of predestination. By that, they mean this. Everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do was predetermined before you were ever born. And whatever you are doing right now was predetermined by the Almighty God. I've got a book in my library and I open it up to almost the first page and it says this, God intended for you to read this book. You see, there's a man who believes in predestination, doesn't he? He believes that way back there in the quarters of time, God looked down and said, yes, Vic needs to read this particular book by this author. And one day I opened it up, and guess what? All of a sudden I'm reading it. That's predestination. Folks, if that be the case, I find it interesting that Satan didn't know anything about that. You know it? Because remember, it was Jesus who told Peter, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat. You see, Satan thought that Peter had what? Free will, didn't he? I find it interesting, too, that if this was predestined, Peter didn't know it, did he? You see, Peter thought that I have freedom of choice. He thought that I have free moral agency. Because he stepped up and he very powerfully proclaimed, I will never, ever deny you, Lord. The Lord could have said, Peter, you need to remember the teaching about predestination, man. You're going to do this, and it doesn't matter what you say, it's going to happen. Now, question, is it going to happen? Yes. Is it because it was predetermined? No. Folks, we're talking about here divine foresight, aren't we? Here is our Lord looking down the quarters of time, just a few hours, and he knows exactly the choice that Peter is going to make in the situation in which he finds himself. And as he looks and sees Peter making that decision, he can now tell Peter, Peter, you are going to deny me. There's no doubt about that. I'm not forcing you. I'm not making you. You have the ability to choose, but you're going to choose wrongly, and you will deny me this night. Divine foresight is much different than predestination. But look at verse 35. I've entitled it, The Repetition. Listen to what's said. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, I will never deny thee. Wow. Is old Peter convicted? Something fierce, isn't he? At least you think so. You're going to be offended tonight. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. It's amazing, isn't it? Folks, Peter continued to deny his denial. But notice also that Mark says this in his account. But he spoke the more vehemently. When you look up that little word vehemently, it means this, to superabound, more and more, over and beyond, more plainly. How would you like to have been there on that occasion? I bet you would get a little bit uncomfortable with what's going on that particular occasion. You're going to be offended because of me. No, I'm not, Peter says. Oh, yes, you are. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And then Peter says, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I'm not. There's no way I'm going to do that. You know I'm not going to do that. There's just no way. I would never be offended because of you. And I bet he just kept on ranting for 2 or 3 minutes. And his voice level gets higher and higher and higher. You see, Peter was convicted that I will never do this. But folks, guess what? He's not the only one. Is he? He is not the only one. Notice what the text says. Likewise also said all the disciples. Wow. Now yes, we talk about Peter all the time, don't we? And the reason we talk about Peter is because Peter was so bold. He was so impetuous. Peter just could not keep his mouth shut for some reason. Nobody in here knows anything about that, do they? You see, sometimes we just open our mouth way too much, don't we? And when you become a person who pops off at the mouth, guess what? You get labeled. Peter got labeled. The impetuous Peter. But folks, it wasn't just Peter on this occasion. Every one of these men had confidence in their own steadfastness. So likewise also said all the disciples. Folks, every one of them verbally told Jesus, we are not going to be offended. We are not going to stumble and fall. We are not going to apostatize. We are not going to deny thee. We are not going to disavow and disown you. There's no way that's going to occur. All 11 apostles. Here's a lesson. Folks, words and affirmations, they don't mean a whole lot. You know that? Oh, it's okay to say whatever you want to say. But they don't necessarily mean anything, do they? You see, they sound good, don't they? What if you'd been there on that particular occasion? Who would you have thought won the argument, Jesus or his disciples? Most likely you'd have walked away and you'd have said, boy, oh, Peter, he's pretty sure of himself. He's pretty confident. He got pretty loud in there with Jesus, and he just kept saying over and over and over and over again, I'm never going to deny the Lord. You'd have probably walked out of there and said, I bet you Peter will never, ever deny the Christ. You see, it sounds good, doesn't it? And watch this. Sometimes my words can put me in a pretty positive light, can't they? Oh, Peter stood up to Jesus. Jesus said, you're going to be offended because of me. And Peter stood up to Jesus and he said, oh, no, I'm not. Not me. He looks good, doesn't he? But guess what? Folks, the only thing that really means anything are our actions, aren't they? Lord, I'll be faithful to you. We say in our prayers. But what do our actions show? Lord, keep me from sin and keep me from iniquity. But what do our actions show? Lord, when the time comes, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to stand fast and I'm going to defend the truth. But what do our actions show? Oh, yes, Lord, I've been remiss, and I haven't gone out, and I haven't taught others the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do that, but what do our actions show? You see, folks, words, they're okay. But they don't necessarily prove a thing. Peter was pretty sure with his words, wasn't he? But it's going to be his actions that matter. Folks, the tension revolving around the crucifixion is starting to escalate, isn't it? They had a wonderful meal together, the Passover meal. Jesus has taught them some pretty powerful lessons. He had instituted the Lord's Supper. He had talked about his going away, but he had also promised them a comforter. They sing a hymn and they go out into the Mount of Olives, a place where they went on numerous occasions, a retreat for them on numerous occasions. And then all of a sudden, Jesus announces his death. All of a sudden, he tells those 11 men, you're all going to be offended because of me. And it would all happen when? That very night. And every one of the disciples are at odds with Jesus, aren't they? No way. It's not going to happen. We're going to remain true and faithful to you, Lord. The tensions are escalating. What's even more interesting is that this is just the beginning, isn't it? We've got a lot more to go. And guess what? Jesus knew what was coming, didn't he? Jesus knew exactly what time it was. So oftentimes in the past, he had told individuals, mine hour has not come. And now he knew that it's time. He and his disciples are going to now leave the Mount of Olives, and they're going to enter into an even quieter spot known as the Garden of Gethsemane. And folks, there are some amazing statements that are made in that garden, aren't they? And what we need to remember is this. This is Jesus' preparation for what is about to come. When you think about your Christian life, are you really faithful and steadfast the way God wants you to be? Oh, I know that we like to look at ourselves and examine ourselves. Oh yes, I am. But are we? You see, it's one thing to mouth the words, it's another thing to put those words in action. Are you doing that? Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you of sin. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you of not being faithful. Maybe there's a person here who needs to obey the gospel of Christ. Folks, what's about to happen is going to be the most magnificent event that ever transpired on this globe, isn't it? The death of the Son of God named Jesus. Shedding His blood for us. Do you need to take advantage of that shed blood? You can if you believe in the Christ, will repent of sins, confess His precious name, and be immersed for the remission of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Do you need to do that tonight? Won't you come as we stand and sing?